You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So when we last spoke, you were telling me about an exhibition that you're preparing. And I remember you saying it was something about like police sirens and phase cancellations. Now, I'm pretty sure most people are familiar with the sound of a police siren. But what exactly is phase cancellation?
Phase cancellation is the principle that noise cancelling headphone works on. That's probably the place that people would be the most familiar with it, even if they're not thinking about the mechanics of what's happening. So say that you want to get rid of a noise. There's kind of two ways of approaching that. There's either passive noise cancelling or noise reduction, which is kind of, you know, more traditional acoustic treating. So say like what people do in rehearsal studios, thing that dampens and tries to like scoop up as many sound waves as possible. And then a more tech version is active noise cancellation, which, yeah, works on this pretty simple but kind of mind-bending principle of physics, in that if you send two mirror images of the same sound wave at each other in real time, they actually just cancel each other out. So the way that noise-cancelling headphones work, and this is why they're so effective, is that on the outside of the headphone itself, there's actually a tiny microphone listening to the world around you, so kind of like ears on the outside of your ears. Then picking up those sound waves, they send it into a miniature processor inside of the headphone, which then reverses the sound wave or flips the phase of it. So the shape of the sound wave is turned on its head, creates a mirror image of itself, and is then broadcast back out at the source of it through a tiny speaker on the outside of the headphones. And the reason why they're so effective in noise-cancelling headphones is that it's a pretty controlled environment. Sound waves, they're pretty amazing. They go through a lot in their very short lives. And doing something like that on a larger scale, it is theoretically possible, but it's kind of like science fiction as well. And yeah, I guess this is where my project comes in.
That's a massive concept. And for all the applications that it does have, why would one perhaps want to cancel a police siren? Why is that the subject matter that you particularly have chosen to work with?
Yeah, look, part of me wishes that I'd chosen to work with something that is easier to cancel, because I guess sirens are designed to cut through all the rest of the sounds. So they're a bit harder to cancel out than, say, just kind of like a low rumble, constant rumble of traffic. But why would I go after police sirens? I mean, I think for me, it's just that I think sirens are so insidious in what they do to us. I know that whenever I hear a siren, they stir up these immediate feelings of fear, of dread, and ultimately of self-policing. I think sirens were kind of all acculturated to kind of just unconsciously, uncritically become the most law-abiding version of ourselves as soon as we hear them. Maybe not everybody thinks about it like that, but yeah, I certainly do. And I really don't like it. I think it's like something that we could do without in our lives. I mean, like, it is pure science fiction in lots of ways, but that's not to diminish its importance. What I'm trying to do with this project is inviting people to imagine a world where the sound of the police doesn't exist. And from that, then maybe we could even speculate on what if the police just didn't exist at all. I think it's really important. I think it's important for people who are not those in power to kind of speculate on the future, because science fiction has this incredible power to shape our, not just our expectations, but our aspirations for the future. And if science fiction is really just being written by, you know, powerful white guys, then all we're really going to get is sending more white guys to Mars. But then if we're kind of dealing with these speculative technologies, it's like, oh, what if we couldn't hear police, and what if police couldn't actually exert the same amount of power over us as they do? Then, you know, what else don't we accept about them? Like, maybe we're not accepting them as a future reality because we're not accepting them as a current reality.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting the way that you talk about it being science fiction. Like, I really like that way of framing it. But like, bringing it back to the present, from when we're sort of children, we're always taught to believe that, you know, the cops are the good guys. And many people, especially people that have a level of privilege, can just sort of grow into an adulthood and don't really have to interact with the police as an institution or, like, really critically engage with what their role is. So I'm really curious about what the response from the gallery as a space has been, and also what the public or people that have heard about the exhibition, how have they responded as well?
Look, so far everyone has just been really excited to hear about it and been really intrigued by the technology as well. I've mostly just been reveling in all of the incredibly interesting conversations that it's thrown up. It's basically interrogating this idea of sound as power and who gets to exert that power in what circumstances. But yeah, look, so far the gallery has been really supportive as well, which is great and really interesting. Yeah, as has the place that is hosting me for my residency, where I'm developing the project. Look, I think that it goes to the heart of this fact that deep down everyone hates the cops, but not everyone will admit that. And a lot of people maybe, you know, don't think about that consciously. I think that one of the worst things that you can be in society is to be a snitch or a tattletale, whereas being a whistleblower, which is to kind of call attention to abuse of power and corruption, that's usually applauded. Maybe the reason why, even though this project is really explicitly FTP, it hasn't really been that much of a challenge to get people rallying around it, which is really nice.
Yeah, for sure. I was just thinking that it must be really hectic making art which has a theme of resistance and social reorganization in a place like so-called Australia, like especially with the political climate that you guys have over there at the moment.
Especially at the moment, there's been like a couple of different developments of the police and the state, yeah, using sound against people. So whether it's the fact that most state police units in Australia now possess long-range acoustic devices, these kind of very dangerous but termed non-lethal weapons that to disperse protesters and use for crowd control and things like that. Almost every police department in Australia has these now. In Melbourne, we've seen this new installation of these so-called terror sirens, which are let off when there's some kind of, you know, what the state deems to be like a mass safety issue or an emergency or something, which seems innocent enough, but I still think it is part of the state's monopoly on defining what is terrorism and what isn't. You know, like, they're not going to let off the sirens to let you know that colonialism is still happening. They're not going to let off the sirens when, you know, like, bulldozers roll into Daprong, which is a protest site in Western Victoria, where the State Roads Authority has been cutting down hundreds of sacred Indigenous trees, for example. And then, I mean, like, even on the Invasion Day, police have been known to confiscate the PA at the rally. So it's just kind of like the state's like, no, that's us. That we're going to need that PA. Like, we're the only people that are entitled to that kind of power. So, like, all of those things just spur me on more.
What I will ask you about is, can you sort of walk me through the hardware setup that you've got? Like, what is the space like? What are you working with? How does it all fit together?
Yeah, I've had like a few different kind of like versions of this project, a few different approaches to phase cancellation. The easiest sound waves to cancel are bass waves, just because they're longer, like, which just makes them like, yeah, less confusing to try and work with, basically. So what I've got set up in my studio at the moment is 4 subs, so like subwoofers, like 2 stacks on top of each other and the 2 stacks facing each other. And then I started off, like, in my initial experiment by playing very simple low frequency sine wave through the subs. A sine wave is just the most simple sound wave you can imagine. And kind of complex combinations of sine waves make up pretty much every sound we hear in the natural world. But so I started off with them and was kind of taking a few different approaches to how to flip the phase itself. You can kind of take digital approaches by sending the sound wave through software like Ableton, or you can take analog approaches, and you can actually just physically move the speakers further apart or closer together as well to kind of see what happens. And I actually got some really amazing results with that, which was awesome and really exciting. But then as soon as you kind of make the sound wave more complex, so say like a siren, suddenly the pitch of the sound wave is going up and down, so it's more confusing. So there, the results kind of got patchier. You could kind of phase cancel out different moments of the sound wave, but not the entire thing. And then from there, I wanted to start making something that would be kind of like a more portable version of this device. I really liked the idea of having these huge two like opposing sound systems yelling at each other, but actually when you go inside of them, like, it's quite quiet or even just distorted. Like, the sirens are either masked or kind of just, you know, distorted to the point of not recognizing them anymore. But I had been thinking more and more about specific instances of sound being used in protest situations where, you know, maybe it would actually be advantageous to you to be able to hear sirens because you need to know where the cops are. But thinking more about long-range acoustic devices, which are just these incredibly dangerous machines used against protesters, I was like, okay, well, what if you could develop something like a shield that you could take out with you to a rally and kind of physically protect yourself against these dangerous sonic weapons?
Holy shit.
Kind of taking inspiration from, you know, like recent protest movements in places like Chile and Hong Kong, where, you know, you've seen protesters use hundreds of laser pens to bring down a police drone, or using laser pens to scramble facial recognition technology in CCTV. So trying to come up with sonic versions of methodologies like that. Yeah, so today I was actually building a prototype of this shield where I actually just made the shield itself out of a wheelie bin lid because, you know, like, they're really easy to get. They're pretty lightweight. And I also kind of liked the idea that sometimes protesters will make sound systems and put them in wheelie bins because they're quite transportable that way. And then I was like, oh, what if you just use the lid as a shield as well? So you have the body of the shield from the wheelie bin lid, and then attached to the back of that is a transducer. A transducer, for folks who aren't familiar with the term, they're like this little piece of alchemy that either have the ability to turn sound waves into electricity, so like in a microphone, or turn electricity into sound waves, like in a speaker. Anyway, you can get these amazing little transducers which haven't been purposed either way yet. And stick it onto the back of something like a bin lid or whatever you want, and that turns the surface itself into the speaker. So then on the front of the bin lid, I have a shotgun microphone, which is just like a hyper-directional microphone. The shotgun mic goes into a little amplifier. Amplifier goes to the transducer on the bin lid. And so that one, that straight away reproduces those same sound waves that the microphone has just picked up. And through a lot of kind of like different versions of trying this out, I've decided that this analog approach, analog meaning, yeah, technology that doesn't need to have a computer processor anywhere in it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's where it's up to at the moment.
What do you think the importance of art is politically? I know that's a really just basic baseline question, but yeah.
It's an important question. I think it comes back to what I was saying before about that that power to speculate. I think that art invites you to imagine alternatives, which, you know, like, maybe you don't see those alternatives manifest straight away. But I think it's really important to have, you know, alternative ideas and models just kind of even introduced to us culturally, so we're thinking about alternatives that we'd like to work towards, instead of just, you know, reacting to, you know, like, terrible shit that happens to us from, like, the police and the state.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.